Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Here we go.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Oh, it is Beer Nuts. I believe we are at episode 149. Wow. We got a full six-pack tonight. We're taking a trip. Well, technically Uncle Pete took a trip, and we're going to sample some beers from there. But I'm Chris. I am in Kansas City, Missouri. My last untapped check-in was Trailsmith from Crane Brewing.
Uncle Pete here in Rockwood, Michigan. My last untapped was Nitro Hazel's Nuts. It's a bourbon barrel-aged Imperial Stout. And it was on Nitro, and it was so creamy and so smooth and so sweet.
Hey, everybody. This is Greg, normally from Dearborn, Michigan, but I'm in Uncle Pete's basement here in Rockwood. And my last untapped check-in was Three Floyds Zombie Dust Pale Ale, Old Reliable, such a great brew. And I thank you, Pete, for sharing a bottle with me while I'm here.
All right. This is Dugout. I'm in Clawson, Michigan, a little bit north of you guys. And my last untapped check-in was Bell's Third Coast Old Ale. It's a barley wine. It's a 2019, and it is outstanding.
Hey, JR, everybody. JR here out in Vail, Arizona, just outside of Tucson. My last untapped check-in was a beer called Another Exercise in Mediocrity from Tombstone Brewing Company. And I can tell you that it's anything but mediocre, but the story behind the name is a... It was a ill-advised, poor review of a beer that somebody used that term, another exercise in mediocrity. And I think it's a great sense of humor that the brewery brewed a beer with that as its name.
Hey, this is Stevie from LA. My last check-in was from Asylum Brewery out in Anaheim, and I enjoyed a IPA called Monsters We Breed. Very good. Had that nice dank taste of your IPA, and it was very enjoyable.
All right, some great beers there, and some even better beers to come this evening. I've been waiting all week for this show, and it's going to be a treat because Uncle Pete took a nice trip through the New England states, brought back some real treats, and has been gracious enough to share those with us other beer nuts around the country. So, before we get into that and turn it over to Uncle Pete to tell you about his trip, we just want to invite everybody to crack open a cold one and enjoy one with us. And just remember, we're not pretentious beer snobs. We just want to introduce more good people to more good beer. So no matter what level of craft beer interest you have, there's always room at the bar with us beer nuts. So that being said, really looking forward tonight, and we're going to turn it over to Uncle Pete to tell us about his journey through New England.
Thanks, JR. I won't go too long into this because we got a lot of beers to go through, but last month, Mrs. Uncle Pete and myself took a nice RV trip, headed east out of Michigan, through Ohio, through New York, Pennsylvania, and then up through Massachusetts into New Hampshire and into Maine. And then we came back through Vermont and upstate New York, and then followed back through again Ohio and back to Michigan. So we hit 11 breweries in 3 weeks. And believe me, I had a lot more breweries on my list, but due to travel circumstances, and when you're on the road, sometimes you're not always in the right place at the right time when certain breweries don't always have hours every day and whatnot. So it's hit and miss, but that's okay. We were able to hit 11 breweries, and I came home with a pretty good sizable cache of beer. So I was able to share and send some packages out to the beer nuts, and tonight we're going to talk about a few of those beers, and hopefully they're kind of a mixed representation of styles, and of course there's going to be some New England style IPAs in there, but there are a couple others in there as well. So we'll let JR guide us through the lineup tonight as we go. And I just want to recommend up front, if you've never been to the northeast corner of the United States, believe me, and Doug, I know you've been there. JR, I know you've been up there to a few breweries. It's well worth the trip if you don't have any other reason to go and just go for the beer. It's a great reward. There's a lot of variety. They are very good at the New England IPAs. Believe me, there's going to be more than you ever dreamed of when you hit the breweries and the tap rooms. That's the majority of what's on tap. Isles, previous episode, I know I mentioned Allagash in Portland, Oregon. They're mostly Belgian-style beers up there, which was a great refresher after all the New England juicies that we tasted. But again, if you can find a reason to go, just go. We went in September and early October, and we were able to catch some fall colors, colors of leaves on the trees, as well as enjoying some great beer. So without any more delay, JR, I'll turn it back, and you can turn the guys on to share some beers with the rest of the listeners.
All righty then. I think we have on our lineup tonight, the first beer is a beer called Zephyr. And I believe we have Doug and Steve going to taste Zephyr. So I'll turn it over to Dugout and Steve.
All right. I sent you guys, I don't know if you still have your messengers open, but sent you a picture of my check-in on this beer from August 12th, 2017. It was my last day in Maine, and we had to fly out of Portland. Drove into Portland, had hours and hours to kill, so we decided to find the nearest brew pub, and the nearest brew pub was Rising Tide. And so we made our way over there, and it was just a chill, nice afternoon and beautiful weather, and there were all these people out, and they were playing cornhole, and people were drinking out in the parking lot, which is their patio, is the parking lot. It's just sort of a garage sort of setup, right, Uncle Pete?
Real small place, yeah.
It just opens up, and everybody comes and drinks, and so... Anyways, back to the beer. I had checked this in and on Untappd 2 years ago. So it pours a slightly hazy straw yellow color. There's great head on it. The nose is just kind of, there's some earthiness and a bit of pininess to it. Let's give it a go. I mean, this is nice. It's got a beautiful bitterness to it. And it's got this clean, crisp finish that a lot of Maine beers have. And I think it has to do with the water. It's just we'll hear about another brewery, Maine Brewing Company, same way, where you know you have a sip of it and you're like, this is from Maine, I could just tell, and this is one of these kind of beers. Steve, very interested on your thoughts on this.
Well, I appreciate you doing all the talking because I've been doing all the drinking. But yeah, the head came out really, really thick, kind of like a sea foam kind of lingered up on top there. But yeah, I see where you have that the flavor, but as you keep drinking it and as you enjoy it, it's very, very smooth going down. Very, very dark in color. And hazy. I can't even see my hand through this clear glass. But yeah, it's very very smooth all the way through. I really, really like this one.
Yeah, this one, as I recall, you know, and I did flights at most of these breweries that I stopped at and tried to taste as many as I could. but this one, I know, is one of their, it's like their flagship beer or one of the flagships for Rising Tide. And I thought, man, it was, out of all the ones I had, it was a great representation of their offering. So I ended up coming home with quite a few. And I think they're all gone, and you guys got the last of them, so...
Oh, nice.
That's okay. That's okay, though.
Well, I'm sure all night we're going to be saying thank you for the beer.
That's all right.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, one of the things about Rising Tide, and I think I mentioned it to you, Pete, even before you went or while you were there, was that was, of all the breweries I had been in Maine, that one was the sleeper. It was definitely one of the most fun places. There were a few that were a lot of fun, but that one was definitely fun, but... quality of the beers was outstanding, and we were there on a release day And I'd have to look back to see what it was. It was one of their rare beers, and I bought a couple and just managed to somehow stuff them in the suitcase with all the rest. And we had friends that were driving back, so we took a few cases back with us, but it took us many months to get those back. Brewery, man, just really something else.
I thank you, Doug, because it was your recommendation while I was there. We were in contact, and you said, make sure you hit Rising Tide. And I wouldn't have hit it. It wasn't on my radar. But I did not only hear from you, but other locals while I was there. A few other people mentioned it and said, yeah, it's worth it. So I made sure we stopped in and thoroughly enjoyed the visit. So I'm glad you like it. Okay, JR, what's up next?
Him drinking a beer.
Apparently. Yeah.
You still with us, JR? He's there. He's muted. There he is.
I had the mute button on. So we are going to go into Lawson's Double Sunshine IPA from Lawson's Finest Liquid. So I just poured one because I was just dying to taste something. So I will tell you, when I poured it, it's got a really nice orange color. Really nice two-finger head that dissipated pretty slowly. And there's still a nice film of a solid film of white foam on the top. Just unbelievable tropical fruit on this aroma. And
I'm smelling a lot of dank, too.
Big time dank and tropical fruit. And that's what you get on the taste, predictably. And it's just absolutely outstanding. Now, I looked back in my... I did take a trip to New England and stayed just, I think, about a... right across the parking lot from the Alchemist, where Heady Topper and Focal Banger are brewed and distributed. So that was a nice place to stay up there in Vermont. And I also made it out to Hill Farmstead when I was there. I have some great memories of that area. But while I was there, I was in a store that literally the truck had just left with the regular sip of sunshine. Was it? Sip of Sunshine IPA, which is also 8%, but it's, I guess it's a double as well, but it was a little bit different. But I looked on my Untappd rating and I gave it a 4.75, which I can remember how much I enjoyed that. So everything I've ever had from Lawson's Finest Liquid is a fine liquid. So I'll let Chris give his interpretation before I go into reading from the can and the website and all that kind of stuff. So, Chris, what do you think?
You pretty much nailed it. I let you go first with the aroma just to kind of confirm what I was smelling, and dead on. It's just a nose full of dank and tropical fruits. And then what I noticed when you taste it is, for a double IPA, you're not really getting hit with... You're not, for the higher alcohol content, you're not getting hit with a real boozy taste at all. I mean, this is very good.
Yeah, it's got a really nice smooth mouth feel, a nice medium mouth feel, and it does. There's no alcohol burn at all. It's just a delightful beverage here.
Yeah, for something that's 8%, this drink's very easy.
And I could drink a few of these.
Probably it's too delicious. Easy.
So I'm going to read from the can, like I always like to do. Lawson's Finest Liquids Double Sunshine Double IPA, straight from the Green Mountains to your head. 8% ABV. Our American Double India Pale Ale is packed with juicy, lush fruit character and dank herbal aromas, thanks to the abundance of U.S.-grown hops. Lawson's Finest Liquids is a family-owned, award-winning brewery located in the picturesque Mad River Valley. Visit our brewery, retail store, and hand-hewn timber frame tap room in Waitsfield, Vermont. Learn more at lawsonsfinest.com. So, Pete, did you actually go to the brewery, or was this purchased at a store up in the area?
Oh, yes. I went to the brewery, and I had my RV trailer in tow. And as you go through the Mad River Valley, I mean, I drove for miles and miles and miles over the hills and through the woods to Lawson's Finest Liquid. We went, and it was a beautiful drive all along. Followed the river on a back, you know, state road, and it was a real treat to then end up at the brewery where we did really spend probably 3 to 4 hours there. It's a big place, a very, very scenic, right along the river, and was actually lucky enough to meet the owner and brewer, Sean Lawson, and took some pictures with him and told him the story of my beer travels and brewery visit travels. And actually at the brewery, met a couple, and the woman that we met was from Michigan, and that's one of the reasons we ended up staying there, just to have more conversation and drink some more beers with somebody back from back home. So it's out, really out away from, I'd say the nearest closest metropolis would be Burlington, Vermont, to the north of where Lawson's Finest Liquid is. It's close to Montpelier, which is the capital of Vermont. But it was a very, very nice visit. And if you ever get a chance to go to Lawson's, it's a beautiful brewery with a beautiful tap room and great beer.
Well, thanks for describing that. I only got to buy some in the store. I missed out on that experience. But I made my way to several others. But that's the great thing about going up to Vermont and into New England. There's just tons of great breweries all over the place. So we're going to stick with Lawson's. And I believe Dugout, Greg, and Pete are going to now sample the Triple Sunshine from Lawson's.
And I'm going to let Doug do – or Schmitty do the honors to start with, since Doug and I have already chatted a bit.
All right. Sorry, I was my microphone's down here. Let me try this again. All right, so comes in a nice 12 can here. Coming through all right. Okay. 12-ounce can, Triple Sunshine. This is 10.5%. Yep. Little description on the side. The culmination of our Sunshine series is exploding with juicy notes of pineapple, grapefruit, and lychee. I never actually knew how to pronounce that word. But anyway, Triple Sunshine exudes potent floral and herbal aromas from a deluge of dry hopping. So, pours in a very hazy, golden, like a straw almost. Not completely on see-through, because I can see a nice little reflection of my hand behind there a little bit. Looks like some nice rocky little bubbles, soapy bubbles here. Let's get a nice smell out of this. Oh, that pineapple. A lot of tropical fruit on this thing. It just smells like sweet fruit. It don't smell any alcohol per se, but it smells like fruit juice first off bat. So, first sip. Ooh. You get really like a really ripe fruit to it. Mouthfeel is delicious on this. There's no, I mean, for 10.5%, this thing is drinking like a like an easy drinking pale ale. I mean, I'm not getting any alcohol burn off this thing. I mean, a lot of great ripe tropical fruits. Just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, this is great. Pete was very nice enough to share Double Sunshine with me, which you guys just reviewed. This thing is that blows that double out of the way. I have to admit, this is fantastic. This is a great beer. Pete, you got any extra add-ons?
Yeah, I won't say much more about it and let Doug talk a bit, but this is full-bodied, you know, very heavy malt backbone. When we opened the can and before we even poured it, the pineapple aroma just hit me. So it's very strong in the pineapple, and it's a very full-bodied beer. So it's got enough strength to hold up to the crazy amount of hops they must have poured in this thing. And it's fantastic. I love it. Go ahead, Dugout, if you want to say any more.
I was going to say, I just had an epiphany here. Dugout is actually going to review Epiphany later. So that was my mistake. He's not going to review the Triple. Because he actually
that's okay.
Oh, you are? Never mind.
He couldn't stand it any longer. And he loves Triples.
You gave me the N, JR, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll drink it.
All right, that's how we roll.
Back to the beer. Greg, I agree with you on the nose. It's just, and Uncle Pete, you open the can, the whole room just smells like pineapple and stone fruit and tropical. It's, for the amount of dry hop that they had to do to get that sort of aroma, it's amazing that this beer comes as clear as it is. When I put it next to the Rising Tide, it's definitely clearer than that. So they've done a lot of work to clean this up and not make it a big hazy mess. So my hat's off to them for doing that. But the other thing that really comes out at me on this beer, yep, the alcohol is just, it's there, but it's, you're getting so much hop in a really nice way, you don't care. It's not offensive. And the other really amazing thing on this is the body. It's thick and syrupy almost, but to have a beer that is that gold and in color, to have that kind of body to it, is just sort of throws you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a sweet malty backbone that really stands up to the rest of the hop bill that's in there. And I think I won't call it balanced because it's so strong in all those categories, but it works well together. I mean, it's really a treat. I don't buy triples that often, and this one I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did too, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I opened it tonight and we're reviewing it, because this is a really amazing beer.
I second that one, and I'm glad to have been here in the basement and enjoying it with you, Pete. This is fantastic.
And I'm glad. Well, it's cool. Go ahead, Jer.
No, I was just about to say I'm glad I had the epiphany to add that onto Doug's lineup.
So just want to say Lawson's Finest Liquids, one of their flagship beers is the Sip of Sunshine. And then we just, the guys just reviewed the Double Sunshine. And now we're reviewing a Triple Sunshine. And what I find interesting about that is here's a brewery that has a base, recipe for a standard IPA. And then they take and they go, okay, well, let's jack it up a little bit. And then they say, well, let's try jacking it up a little bit more. And all three of them are really home runs. And you can tell they're all related. And like somebody said earlier, it's something about, well, that was Maine, I guess. There's something about the water out there. But still, I find now there's a relationship with the beers from the same brewery. And that's pretty cool.
Amen. All right. Well, great beers from Lawson's. Before we move to the next beer, I believe they make some kind of a maple beer, too, that's really good. I can't remember the name of it.
No, makes sense.
If it's I should have sent one to you. I didn't have enough, but they have maple nipple.
Oh, boy.
And it's made with maple syrup, of course. And I've coveted those, actually. I've been drinking them, but I didn't have enough to send you. My apologies. And they're very good. And, of course, Vermont and maple syrup, I mean, come on.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anything maple is usually good, but the Lawson's maple, there's a couple other maple varieties, and I'd have to look it up. But so if you get up that way, keep an eye out for that. That's a fantastic brewery, and they truly are finest liquids, all their liquids.
I was really hoping to find some of their barrel-aged stouts, which they're probably few and far between, but they have done them. There weren't any available at the time I was there, but I know by checking online that they had a number of, releases in the past. I'm sure there were people in the local area that have them stashed away in their cellars, and if I could have stayed any longer, maybe I would have been able to, poke around and find somebody to trade. And speaking of trades, just wanted to mention the server at Lawson's that took care of us while we were sampling all their great beers. We got to chatting, and next thing you know, after we paid our bill, I'm out in my truck, and I brought a number of Michigan beers, craft beers, and I brought him in a four-pack and was able to make some trades with our server. So that was another one of the neat parts about visiting these breweries up east was I did go through quite a few Michigan beers in trade, and I'm really looking forward to trying what he gave me. So,
well, just
that's
go back,
awesome. That is so cool.
To go back to the maple beers that I was talking about, the one that I had, even though I haven't checked it in on Untappd, because sometimes it's just fun to have a beer and not have to worry about having your phone. But Faced in Maple Imperial Stout, American Imperial Stout, and a Maple Triple Ale were the two that I know that I have had that were both outstanding. So don't sleep on their maple beers. You know, Vermont has world's best maple syrup. And that's a weak spot for me. So.
You sound delicious.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Great stuff there, and let's time to move on to our next beer. And fortunately, it's one that I'm lined up to taste. So we're now going to go to the Macaroon Mojo from Foundation Brewing Company. Macaroon Mojo is a milk stout with cocoa, coconut, and vanilla. So it sounds right up my alley. So I'd like to turn this one over to Chris to review first.
Oh, it's... You're sticking your nose in this. I mean, well, first of all, you pour it a big old thick head. I poured this about probably 10 minutes before we started recording because, you know, you fellas have taught me you got to let your stouts warm up to get all the flavors. And there is still a head floating on this beer. It's a, you know, I like Steve's descriptor earlier of like a sea foam. I mean, it is still there. It's still hanging out. You stick your nose in it, and it. I just smell chocolate. You smell anything else, JR? Maybe a hint of vanilla, but I'm just getting all that cocoa.
Yeah, that's definitely the predominant.
Yeah.
I can smell a little of the coconut.
I'm taking a sip of this. Now, it says on the website this is 6.3 ABV, but I'm telling you, I'm tasting a little bit more booze on this than, say, the last one, which is ironic because this has less alcohol in it. But you're getting the boozy up front, but then, yeah, in the back, the chocolate kicks in, little hint of vanilla. This is tasty, I'll tell you that. What else are you getting on this, JR?
Well, I haven't tasted it yet, so just took a sip of water. I still had some double IPA, but okay, I got my palate cleansed. So before I taste this, I love when they put on the can the ingredients and, you know, homebrewers like Dugout and Pete and will appreciate this. The grist is the pale chocolate malt, black malt, crystal, and oats. And the bonus adjuncts are coconut, cocoa, vanilla, and lactose. And it's funny, it says, this is a living product. Some sediment may naturally occur. A rich milk stout aged with mountains of coconut and a touch of cocoa and vanilla. Macaroon Mojo captures the flavors of one of our favorite cookies. Who wants a treat?
Ironically, coconut's like the one thing I don't taste.
Well, I'm going to taste it right now for the first time. I definitely get I can still sense a little coconut in that aroma. Very little, but mostly cocoa, like you said, chocolate cocoa. Yeah, I definitely don't really taste the coconut. I smelled it more than I tasted it, but I do get some vanilla, some cocoa and some vanilla. Let me take another sip. Oh, it's getting better with every sip. Yeah, it's not thick. It's not thin or thick. It's a medium mouthfeel. You know, I really do like that that healthy head on it. It poured with a good two fingers, and it's dissipated now to a thin film of white, you know, a little like Coca-Cola covered head. But I'm definitely getting the vanilla on it, and I agree. I thought I smelled coconut on the nose, but I'm not getting any coconut on it. So kind of surprising that it says that they use a lot of coconut in it. But shoot, I mean, it's still really tasty brew, and it doesn't have the ABV on the can. I think you said you looked it up, and it was 6.3.
Yes.
I definitely can taste a little bit of alcohol. I don't think it's overbearing by any means, but like you said, compared to those double IPAs we were drinking that had higher alcohol, but it's a real easy drinker. Since it's not real thick mouthfeel, I think, you know, you could drink a couple of these. You know, it's not a one and done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, it's not an imperial stout. This is, to me, this is closer to me more like this is like a sessionable stout, okay? And it's a milk stout, and it has a Coca-Cola type color. It's not really black. I can see through it sort of with a bit of a, you know, amber red color in it. I don't get a lot of coconut right now either. I know at the time when I ordered this in my flight, Foundation Brewing in Portland, Maine, you know, had quite a number of New England hazies and juicy IPAs. And so I wanted to mix it up and make sure I had a taste of something else. And this was my choice. And it hit the spot. I mean, when all you're tasting is hazy IPAs, you know, you want to try something that's got some sweetness and dessert quality to it.
Yeah, it's very sessionable. I would say, you know, this is not like one of those sippers that's going to last an hour. You can probably quaff this down fairly quickly, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's flavorful. It's, you know, I'm a little disappointed. I would like to taste more coconut in it, but coconut's a flavor that's kind of volatile. You know, it can fade pretty quickly. We know these are pretty fresh. But hey, you know, no complaints. It's solid. It is what it is. It's not a 10% imperial stout, like you said. I agree. I would almost, if I was blind tasting this, think it was a porter. It definitely is not, you know, thick like a stout, but certainly no complaints. It's a very pleasant, enjoyable beer to drink, and you know, at 6.3, you can actually, you know, have, you know, a few of these.
Who else is tasting this?
Just me. This is a tasty brew, and I'm with you on the porter thing, JR. Maybe I'm used to, you know, the beers you can chew when it comes to stouts.
This is not a beer you can chew. It's more of like almost an amber or a porter, but, you know, not a knock on it other than, you know, when you see milk stout, you think it would be a little bit heavier. But, hey, I'm not complaining. It's like that old, you know, I wouldn't kick it out of bed.
Yeah,
I got at you, it. Did you make it over to Industrial Way in Portland, Maine, where the density of breweries included Foundation, the one we're tasting now?
You know, I didn't make it to Foundation. I made it to, in Portland, I made it to Bissell Brothers, and there was another one close to the wharf that the name escapes me right now.
All right.
But most of the trip was spent up in Union, Maine, so we had a lot more of the ones up north. Some of the ones I was telling you about in Belfast, and I guess that one's gone now, right? Unfortunately. So.
Well, I wanted to mention Foundation Brewing when I visited there. It was on Industrial Way in Portland, Maine, and Industrial Way is a, you know, it was like an industrial park, and a lot of breweries tend to set up shop in these industrial parks and find, you know, probably inexpensive leases for space. Well, anyway, on that street, when I pulled in there with my RV trailer, within walking distance of where I parked, and I'm talking a 5 to no more than 10 minutes walk, I was able to visit at least 6 breweries, and I know there was probably 7 or 8 on that street. So Foundation was one of them. Right across the street was Allagash. And Foundation I found to be kind of fun because just like Doug, where you said, where was that one we just reviewed and you played cornhole out there at Rising Tide?
Oh,
they
Rising
had food
Tide,
trucks
yeah.
out
yep.
there. They had food trucks. They had cornhole at Foundation.
It was just a big party. It was just a party, and everybody was so relaxed, and that was great.
Yeah. Anyway, Foundation, that's the story on them. They're on Industrial Way, and right within walking distance, there's Foundation and about 5 or 6 other breweries.
I have to say that when I went on my New England trip, we had fully intended to go to Maine. At the time, when I lived in Michigan on Gros Isle, and Pete knows this, my neighbor across the street actually has a house on an island up there, right on the Maine coast, my neighbor Terry. And we fully intended to visit him and go to Maine, but we had such a good time in Stowe, Vermont, to the point where my son, you know, took his first ride on a bicycle. And it's just a very memorable trip, and we had such a fun time in Stowe. My wife didn't want to leave, and we just we ended up abandoning the main leg of the trip, which I kind of regret because I only have 10 states that I haven't visited, and Maine is one. So I missed out on that, but I'm even more regretful after hearing all the great breweries that I possibly could have visited if we had made that last leg. And we fully intended, and we had such a good time in Stowe where we were staying. We were at this resort right across the street from Alchemist. So don't shed any tears for me. I was a regular visitor to the Alchemist Brewery when I was there and brought back a lot of their beers. But, I feel like I have to get back to Maine. So that's going to be on my bucket list to get back up there. And I know Doug made it there, Pete made it there, and JR is going to make it there someday. All right, I think we're ready to move on to, speaking of Maine, our next beer is from the Maine Brewing Company, and Steve V is going to review Peeper from the Maine Brewing Company. So I'll turn it over to Steve.
Thank you. I poured this, and I'm waiting to drink it, but I've waited patiently. Nice gold color. You can kind of smell that lemon and grapefruit in it. But the floral flavors come out in it. And you don't taste a lot of citrusy. It's more of a floral that I really get the overwhelming taste of. Really, really nice. This Peeper, it's a pale ale. It's a pale ale. It's a 5.5%, and I guess they have it year round at these brewery here. But it has lemon, grapefruit, fresh cut grass, delicate notes of raspberry, strawberry, pine, floral, and faint bread. And their hops they use is a Amarillo, Cascade, and a Centennial. But very good, nice taste all the way around. This is, like I said, it says year-round. You can definitely drink this year-round. It's one of those ones I think you can pull out, and somebody who's new to beer or not so adventurous, I think they would really, really enjoy drinking this one. Very good beer.
Yeah, it comes in a 1 pint plus 9 ounce bottle, a brown bottle. Very simple label. They're very clean and packaging. It's attractive. I'll let Schmitty chime in a bit because we decided to open one up over here as well.
Quite the convenient, that's for sure. Steve, I don't know if you said lemony. I'm getting a little bit of a lemony, like a note in the background for it. I pick up the grassy note that you said as well, but for real, I'm getting some kind of lemony type of acidity towards it. It's really, really good for a pale ale. I wish the weather out here was more conducive for a pale ale right now, but we're turning towards winter right now. But for 5.5%, this is a very clean, delicious, very refreshing pale ale. And kudos to Pete for picking it up and offering to pop it open just now. So
I'll tell you, in comparison to the other beers we've been drinking tonight, to me this is like the light white wine of the beers we've had tonight. It's very clear and effervescent, very light colored. I mean, not even blonde or straw. It's lighter than that. It's just very light and clear and bubbly and white head. And it's just got a very mild flavor, mild taste, mild body, and it's refreshing. To me, this Peeper is one that you'd want to, maybe have with some seafood appetizer or something like that to start off a meal before you get in, just anything any heavier.
Makes me want to get my bikini on and hit the pool, but I don't think anyone wants
that's,
to see
that's
that.
That's not a visual that I'm looking
for. Oh, no. Sorry, everybody hit the industrial eyewash.
But I can remember when I lived in Michigan, you could go down. I lived only 45 minutes north of the Ohio border, and I know Dugout spent some time down in northern Ohio. And one of the great things is Ohio had Maine Beer Company distribution, and we'd run down there, and we'd see those 16.9-ounce bottles of all these Maine beer companies, and paper was one of the standards that was always available. And it's like a good sessionable, you know, it's like a session beer, like you said, light and tasty. Great for, you know, a hot summer day. Hey, what's not to like? It was always I would always buy a bottle of that when I ran into that down in Toledo. Dugout, I'm sure you've had a few of those too.
Oh, man. I have, I've taken the labels off and saved the bottles for home brewing. And I can honestly say I have five 12 bottle cases of those bottles that I've stripped the labels off of. So that gives you an idea. Maine Brewing Company was my favorite place in Maine as far as the beer quality was concerned. And that beer, Peepers, and then there's another pale ale that they make called Mo, are two of the best pale ales I think I've ever had, bar none, is a pale ale. I think they're wonderful.
Chris, I think I sent you a Mo.
I do have a Mo. I did not open it.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I mean, it's also a good one, as Doug mentioned. I might mention that I came upon Maine. I was planning to go to Maine Brewing Company all along, but I actually came upon it. I didn't realize I was on the same road that the brewery was on, and I'm driving along with my trailer in tow, and all of a sudden, there it was. So, of course, I had to pull in instead of...
Yeah, you're like, lock up the brakes.
Yeah, I did. I really did kind of step on the brakes and turned in there. Got into a bit of a tight spot, but was able to park the trailer in the truck. And it's a beautiful, beautiful tap room. Two stories, very expansive. They serve food. A lot of great merch and a big coolers full of beer to go. And, you know, I didn't, and believe me, I tried them all and then bought a bunch to go. So I was glad to come upon it. However, when I was pulling away with my trailer, I was parked parallel to a little guardrail out there in the parking lot, and the rear end of my trailer swung out. And I caught the guardrail and bent the back bumper all to hell. So that was my first mishap on the trip.
No.
But I shrugged it off and said, there's another brewery we need to go to next. And we kept on rolling down the road.
Great attitude.
You know, what was I going to do? Stop and fix it? No, I'm moving on.
When in doubt, more beer.
Yep. But I highly recommended Maine Brewing Company. If you're up in that area, please stop in and check it out. It's worth a stop. I'm sure they're still expanding and growing as we speak, and it's all good beer.
Well, yep, there's something to say about the water up in Maine, because I topped off my glass with the rest of the bottle and formed a really nice head. And I mean, this one looks like a meringue. It's just sitting up there and nice and thick, and you know, something like it. And the color of this, it looks like a lemon meringue pie.
Well, if you're in a state, or if you're visiting a state that has Maine Beer Company distribution, like I used to treasure my trips to Ohio for that, it's the plainest looking label you ever see. It looks like somebody did it on their computer in like Microsoft Word or something, but you know, just this plain white label, but you know, what's in the bottle is what matters. And I kind of like that classic look. Everything I've ever had from this brewery is phenomenal. It's definitely a winner. And our grand finale tonight's going to be a real treat for me. It's a bucket list beer. I'm not going to spill the beans yet, but we got one more before that. And I think Dugout's going to now finally have that epiphany.
No, the saying is, I had an epiphany. Well, I'm having an epiphany. So this is from Foundation Brewing, and it is Epiphany Maine IPA. It's a double IPA, comes in at 8%, 79 IBUs, And final gravity is 1.012, meaning it's quite dry. It's fermented out massively. So 1.01 is always target, or almost always target when you're brewing. And that's about as close as you can get on that one. Without going, when you go below, then you're working with brewed IPAs. But it's something totally different. This is definitely an East Coast hazy. It's pretty light yellow in color, straw color, but definitely a thick haze through it. Can't really see directly through it. Got a beautiful head on it. So nose is not unlike a lot of New England beers, where it is just full of tropical fruits. I didn't see a hop list on this one. Let me see. Yes, I did. Citrus, tropical fruit, pine. Mm-hmm.
I got a list here. Columbus, Cascade, Citra, Ella, and Mosaic.
There we go. Yep. And I'm sure they were doing a lot of the dry hop with Mosaic, because that's what gives it all a beautiful tropical fruit flavor. The head is nice. It you know, you drink this, you know you've got a New England, definitely from New England. There's no like kind of overly hop grittiness to it, but it is just juicy to the core. I mean, everything about this thing, and then it's got kind of that crisp dry finish too. So you get all that juice while you're drinking it. Bang, it finishes just like that. It's fantastic. I mean, for an 8% beer, there's absolutely no hint of alcohol. It's just like you're drinking a session beer. So I'm sure this could be dangerous for a lot of people, not knowing what they're drinking and thinking it goes down as easy as it does. So, but Uncle Pete, thanks for this. This is outstanding.
It is.
Probably had a few of these, and this is freaking incredible.
Yeah, I've had a few. I know I sent some to you guys, and I have a few left. And now Greg and I are also enjoying one with you.
Oh, right on.
we have a weakness, and it's showing. But you know, I can't agree more. This is a true representation of a New England juicy hazy IPA, and the hop bitterness is very muted and soft, and I think it really showcases the aroma and the flavor that you can get out of hops without all the astringency and the sharpness. So it's really pillowy to me and very pleasant. It's something that's approachable probably for somebody that may come up, you know, when you talk about IPAs and they're going to go, oh, it's too bitter, it's too bitter. This is not that. Even though it's 85 IBU and there is a bitterness there, it's not one of those, you know, crazy West Coast bitter beers. This is a Maine juicy hazy IPA.
Well, so. But you know what? It's also not one of those. This looks like orange juice beers. It definitely has the look of beer to it, and it's got that golden color instead of that orangish color that a lot of the New England seem to be taking on lately. So, and it doesn't have that thick, kind of thick look to it either. That's where I think it really just shines for me is, you know, it does have that haziness, but it's not thick haze. It's there for a reason, and that's the juice. But it doesn't. It doesn't look like a freaking glass of grapefruit juice from the hotel, you know.
And it says on their site they use a house British yeast, which maybe that's uncommon for a New England hazy IPA to use a British yeast.
Actually, it's not. It's very common, and you know, like so Pete and I brewed on Sunday, and we brewed. My harvest ale, and use a lot of wet hops, and we use loose leaf hops. And the yeasts we use, I use dry 97, which is American yeast, but you use Nottingham, which is British ale yeast.
And I'll tell you that Nottingham, it went up quick and fermented actively for about 2.5 days, and it quieted right down now.
Yeah, it just shoots its load, man.
That's called the shoot your load harvest ale. Okay, now we got a name for it.
getting off track here. I had an epiphany. I had one. Yeah. This is great. Thank you for this, Uncle Pete.
Welcome, really welcome. Absolutely. I don't know if Schmitty had anything to say because he had a swig of this.
I've had more than a swig. No, this is delicious. You guys hit everything on the head there. You know, it's great citrus, but not sweet citrus. But, I mean, super easy drinking. The hops are fantastic. I mean, just overall a great beer. I certainly appreciate Pete bringing all these back and letting us all try it. I mean, it's fantastic. I certainly would be seeking this out more often if it was available. So,
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Okay, beer nuts. I think it's time for the grand finale. As I've said earlier, this is a bucket list beer that I have attempted to trade for without success. Kind of put in for some kind of random raffle type things. Never won. But my good friend, Uncle Pete, has bestowed a bottle upon me. So, can't thank you enough. I'm bowing to you, Pete. Thank you very much for this treat.
That's funny. Greg's over here bowing too.
It is truly one of the iconic beers that a lot of beer geeks strive to get. I'm just really excited to try this. Heard great things. And now I'm ready to kick it off and pour it out and realize I don't have an opener in front of me. So, I'll let Pete introduce the beer and maybe how he got it, and I'm going to run across the room and get my opener. I'll be right back. So, Pete, tell us about dinner.
All right. Well, I tried, I believe, every beer they had at the Maine Brewing Company tap room. Did a couple of flights, and Mrs. Uncle Pete will attest to that. She was there keeping me, well, she would have wanted to keep me in check, but she failed miserably. But Dinner is a double IPA from Maine Brewing in Freeport, Maine. And they also have an offering called Lunch, which I've had a few of those. This beer is really, it knocked my socks off when I tasted it there. And I would say it's probably the best one I had on their list there. So without any more delay, I'm going to pour a little sip here for me and Greg while John gets his opener.
Oh, I got my opener.
It's open. And if you want, we'll pour. And if you want to pour and take over, that's fine with me, because I'd rather let you have your bucket list experience and share it with us.
Well, I'm pouring it right now. And I'm like a kid on Christmas morning right now. I ran over to get that opener. So I just poured it. Dugout was describing the epiphany with it's not a glass of grapefruit juice. This is not either. It is a little bit darker than straw. It looks more like a West Coast than a New England, even though it's from New England, but I don't think that's really the style. So I'm going to sample the aroma now. Definitely getting a little pineapple, mango, those tropical fruits. Oh, man, this smells just wonderful. You know, a nice pine. So it's kind of reminding me of a West Coast with the pine, but then you got that real nice tropical fruit, mango and pineapple. So I'm going to take my first sip of dinner. First, I want to explain that I poured it was about like a one finger head. This head is not going away. It is not like dissipated into that little thin film of paper. It's probably about a quarter inch that just not going away. It's just, and it's, you know, snow white head. So it looks the part. Let's taste it. Well, I just have to use the word concert. It's a concert in my mouth. It's all these great flavors coming together. There's not more malt than hops. There's not more hops than malt. Everything is just fantastic. I'm drinking more than I'm talking, and that's a good thing. So definitely, I think this is unique. It's not West Coast. It's not East Coast. It's dinner. It's dinner. Now, the website says drink intense mango, passion fruit, and pineapple, undertones of garlic, onion, and pine, sweet aromatics of malt and caramel, citra hops, Falconer's Flight, Mosaic, and Simcoe, two-row malt, carapils, caramel, and dextrose. You know, what I like about this beer is it's a double India pale ale, but there's a lot of malt in this too. This is like, this is not just like a hop bomb. This is a, this is what a balanced beer is supposed to be, and it's truly a treasure. I'm not getting any garlic or onion. That's kind of a weird descriptor that they have on their website, but it's almost inexplicable to explain in words how good this is. I will, you know, definitely say a lot of malt, but you know, the hops just complement it perfectly, and it's indescribable. Somebody else?
Schmitty, come on.
Well, unlike you, JR, I am getting like an oniony type, garlicky, like an aftertaste or something. But I mean, you hit everything right on the head. I mean, you get everything on this beer that you want. You get the citrusy. You get a great mouthfeel, and you get a great hop bite at the end. This is the complete double IPA that everybody should be looking for. I mean, this is a fantastic brew, and I'm certainly honored to be finally drinking it. So thank you, Pete. Beautiful thing.
Right on, guys. More than my pleasure to share, because this one to me is just intensely flavored. It's just intensely flavored. There's such a great combination of hops and the malt bill on this. It just, after I drink it, it just stays in my mouth even for, you know, minutes afterward. And, you know, it's one of those ones you just want to savor. And it is very savory. It's very intense. And it's like a meal in a bottle. They call it dinner. And it's, you know, I wish I had more. I do wish I had more. So I guess I have to make a trip to Toledo and search around. It, you know, it is kind of a limited production thing, and it does, you know, it does come out once in a while. They don't make a ton of it. I was lucky enough while I was there at the brewery, they had cases of it, so I was able to grab some. And you know, compared to Peeper, this is way at the other end of the spectrum. It's not light, and it's just intense. It's very bold.
I think the biggest surprise for me is how much malt I get out of this. This is a double IPA. You don't expect it, malt to be even anything that you're going to describe when you taste this beer. But there's a lot of malt in it, but there's enough hops in there to balance it out and make it truly a dinner. I mean, it's
phenomenal. In my opinion, that is the epitome of a well-made double IPA. The double IPA is supposed to be malty. It's supposed to have this big backbone to it, much like the triple we had. The Lost
right.
Triple had that big old backbone to it. It was just so unique. But I have the bottle. I just couldn't, in my conscience, open it while somebody else isn't here and couldn't enjoy it. So that's why I had to back off on that one. So, I mean, you guys can understand. It's a whale.
That's
for certain.
And you're showing great restraint.
Absolutely. But
respect
I know
to you.
I would have to, like, get rid of the bottle, like, drive it to somebody else's garbage can or something. And if I did that, then that wouldn't be right. So that's why I don't have that one on.
I agree, Dugout. Doubles and triples, you know, they're meant to be malty to stand up to the hop bill. And this one, the funny thing is like the Lawson's triple IPA that we had really had a sweetness because of the high amount of malt ingredients that it had. And this one also has a lot of malt. And John mentioned Two Row, Carapils, Caramel 40, and Dextrose. But it doesn't really have the sweetness to me that the triple from Lawson's had. It's got more of a...
There's something in the ABV that says, like, so you got an ABV beer that's 8%. You can get away with it being more dry. When you get into an IPA,
exactly,
for example, that goes over 10 or 11 or even a 12% or more, there's always going to be that sweetness to it. It's just always going to be there. You can't get that ABV and not have that.
These guys have this dialed in. This is 8.2%. I'm sure they tried different versions and different strengths, but this is dialed in. I don't know how it could be better. I mean, it truly lives up to the hype. It's more, it's actually, I think, more West Coast than East.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that description.
But it's not a hop bomb. And, you know, there's so many beers that get great ratings because they're hop bombs. And, you know, as a brewer, you guys know, you know, balance is king. And this is, these guys know what they're doing, man. I mean, and, you know, I mean, there's hyped beers, and I've had hyped beers, and I'm like, really, this is it? This is not one of those. This is one of those, like, wow, now I get it. Now I get it. I've had lunch a few times, but now I know why dinner is king. And when awesome. I was referring to lunch, it's the other beer they brew. They do have a IPA that's lunch that's not as strong as this, and it's also very wonderful and easier to get. Now, I do believe what you know, Pete was saying about going to Toledo. I don't think you're ever going to find dinner in Toledo. I think this is brewery only. And, again, thank you for fulfilling one of my bucket list beers, Pete.
Welcome, and I wish the rest of the beer nuts, I wish I could have given you all one. But, you know, Chris, you got a Mo, and Steve got a Peeper. And, well, next time I go, I'll try to get more dinner and send it out to everybody.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed my Peeper, so. Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Yeah, I've enjoyed both of these beers. I'm looking forward to that Mo, probably on a football Sunday. But, yeah, I haven't said thanks, Uncle Pete. I mean, you brought back quite a haul, and you distributed it to all of us, so thank you.
Well, Greg was the inspiration, because I think he kind of started off the beer nuts with his share recently that he had.
With the Holmes Brewing.
With the Holmes, and I'm telling you, I said, you know, when I go to Maine, I'm going to buy a shitload of beer, and I want to come back and share it with you guys in the same spirit. So, Greg, thanks for the inspiration, and I hope you other guys, if you ever get on your road trips and you feel like doing the same, we'd be wide open to the idea.
Well, I can only say I don't have to travel too far to Tombstone. And I think that'll be the next in our brewery visit series. May not be a Arizona beer. It may be more of one brewery. But I'm looking forward to sharing some of Tombstone's finest with you guys. So look for that next month, listeners. Look for us to review some Tombstone beers.
You got Tombstone, JR, and what was that other one you and I enjoyed?
Oh, Pablo Vita?
No. Shoot, it hit. I brought you a crawler of the barrel aged from them from Tucson when I was out there. Oh, well, I'll think of it, but I'm sure there's a couple of good choices out there besides Tombstone.
Oh, there is. But Tombstone's probably good enough brewery that we can do a whole episode alone on it. But I have to say I've really grown to love Pueblo Vita out here in Tucson, and there are some other great breweries. Not sure the one you're speaking of now. Borderlands is another good one. But we'll dial it in, and we'll be doing an Arizona beer-themed episode
Tombstone,
real soon here.
Tombstone could be fun around Halloween.
Absolutely, and that's perfect timing. So, actually, the Tombstone, I believe it's their third anniversary maybe. They're having an anniversary party this weekend, and they're releasing a Grand Cru Imperial Stout, No Limits. So that could be in our future, along with all the great hoppy beers that they have. So, we will definitely be next in line for that kind of episode. So look forward to it, listeners, and look forward to it, beer nuts.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right,
so very much looking forward to reciprocating the generosity of Uncle Pete. Thank you so much. You know, I don't know if I can top the dinner, but I have a few tricks up my sleeve. I might have something pretty good coming up. All right. Anybody have anything to add? Closing thoughts? I think it's been a epic episode. This was
really
supposed to be episode.
Shout out to Ross, because Ross is the one that started with the
Foothills.
That's true. Foothills. Ross, man, for sure.
My bad. You're right.
Oh, we're missing him, man.
I'm going to try to include Ross in the Tombstone, and there is something that I haven't shared with you guys that I think will pique his interest. I know he's got some stuff going on, but I'll reach out to Ross and see if we can get him on for the Tombstone episode.
Okay, all right. But yeah, I just thought of him when he thought.
In the meantime, everybody, cheers to Russ.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers, Ross.
Our glasses are up.
And the next cheers goes to you, Uncle Pete. Thank you again. I know we've all thanked you, but can't thank you enough for your generosity.
My pleasure. Sharing
your beercation with us. I can tell you that every day when I check the Facebook, you know, you saw a lot of likes from me. I was living vicariously through you, and I enjoyed every moment of your trip, as maybe not quite as much as you enjoyed it, but it was great to just follow you in your travels. So thanks for posting and keeping us informed as all the visits you made. And it was really, really a fun trip for me to watch, and I'm sure much more fun to be there.
Yep, more to come. I'm still young, and I still got a lot of miles to put on, so more to come.
Amen. All right,
you know, everybody. You have all winter to fix that bumper, and I think you broke a window too. So
I'm just going to cut the bumper off.
Yeah, you just got all winter to fix that shit until next year. So
yeah, that's right. No worries.
Put a couple tires in this place.
Well, I know we were going to not do any hipster tipster, but I do want to say that I wish I could be there for the Fall Beer Festival at Eastern Market in Detroit. It's a festival I always cherished when I was living in Michigan, and due to several circumstances, I was actually going to try to fly in and go to it, but I can't do it this year. Just not possible what's going on in my life right now. But I am going to make a serious effort to make either the Ypsilanti summer one or next year's fall festival. So we'll get there eventually. But in the meantime, I hope you guys go and share your experience with us when we do an episode in the next few weeks. So I'm sure you're looking forward to going. You guys are attending, right?
I'm attending, yep.
Pete, is there going to be the legendary meetup at your truck before the festival, the pregame?
Oh, Fall Beer Festival?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be there, and I'm going to tailgate before we go in. I don't have the enthusiast membership, so I can't go in early, so I have to make up for it somehow.
I'm sure you...
Junior's going on Friday, and... I'll be there Saturday. Doug will be there Saturday.
Yep.
Well, wish I could join you guys.
We have a gang of five heading down.
Oh, I'm gonna join your gang, Greg, Dugout. So
yep. Sounds then, like it's six now.
And then post meetup at Clausen Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. That sounds wonderful.
So absolutely invited to that as well.
Oh, maybe next year. We have plenty of time. Maybe Steve V and I can make the trip out to Michigan for that one. We have a year to think about it. So
it's a good one. You know that.
Steve V will have to get his winter goat for a hat.
It's not that bad, usually.
For Steve V, maybe. You know,
the beer will keep him warm.
There you go.
We tailgating in the camper, Uncle Pete?
The camper.
You attaching it and bringing it to the fest?
Maybe next year. This time, okay. No, it's already put away, but that would be a good idea.
He's going to bring out the pontoon boat, not the camper. Screw that.
Yeah, Redneck Yacht Club. That's what it would be.
All right, everybody. I guess that about wraps up episode 149. Just this was supposed to be episode 150, but our Porter episode got canceled. But we'll reschedule it, as we always do. No big deal. Next episode will be 150.
Yeah. So I figured me and Uncle Pete sitting around drinking Porters would be a pretty short episode. So.
That's okay.
Quality Porters control will be good. Ruled that if there's not at least three beer nuts, we cancel. So we had to cancel.
Yeah.
We're going to do it right.
What would be the next episode then? You think Porters would be next?
I think episode 150, we need to have the Mexico City episode. So book your flights now. We're going to Mexico City.
Okay. Well, speaking of Mexico City, guys.
Yeah. Just real quick, if you want to show us what you're drinking, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Instagram. Our email address, if you want to get a hold of us, is beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net. New shows every weekend. We're back on the every week schedule, despite what we just said. And we thank you for listening. And JR, I believe it's, speaking of Mexico City, I believe it's that time.
As they say in old Mexico City,
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.